Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be following the first captives taken to Babylon as we pick up today's lesson in 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 1. And now, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's message.
The last good king that Israel had was Josiah. Upon his death, his son began to reign in his stead. Pharaoh Necho came to Jerusalem and captured the city, made them a vassal state, and he changed the name of Josiah's son to Jehoiakim, and he allowed him to reign upon the throne. Now, as you're dealing with the reign of Jehoiakim, he was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned for 11 years. You're dealing now with the bulk of the prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah prophesied during the reign of Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He was a bad king, and he allowed the people again to revert to idolatry and the sins of Manasseh, those sins for which the nation was doomed. And so in chapter 24, in his days, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant for 3 years, and then he returned and rebelled against him. So as Nebuchadnezzar came, he saw that his forces were outnumbered. He realized there was no sense of trying to hold off against Nebuchadnezzar. And so he submitted unto Nebuchadnezzar, and thus the city of Jerusalem was spared the siege. But the Lord sent against him the bands of the Chaldees, the bands of the Syrians, and the bands of the Moabites, and the children of Ammon, and he sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by the servants of prophets. And surely, at the commandment of the Lord, came this upon Judah, to remove them out of the sight, for the sins of Manasseh, that is, the things that Manasseh had introduced, the worship of Baal, the sacrifice of their children unto the idols, and all of these things, according to all that he did. Now, when Nebuchadnezzar first came, Jehoiakim surrendered or submitted to him. Nebuchadnezzar went away. 3 years later, Jehoiakim rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. Now, what had happened is that the Babylonians had other problems. Nebuchadnezzar at this time was engaged personally in the siege of the city of Tyre. And there was so many problems with the Babylonian kingdom. They were being attacked by different groups that Jehoiakim probably felt secure in rebelling. Why should I submit to him? He's got his own problems, you know, and he can't get back here for a while. And so Jehoiakim rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. And so Nebuchadnezzar then asked the other nations that were vassal states to Babylon to go ahead and to attack Jerusalem. And so that is where you read they sent the bands of the Syrians and the Moabites and the Ammonites against Judah to destroy it. And so he turned loose the neighboring states to attack, but they were not able to take Jerusalem. And so Nebuchadnezzar came again to Jerusalem, and the Lord declares that because of these sins that Manasseh introduced that were prevalent again, also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. In the book of Jeremiah, we read that there was a prophet by the name of Urijah who prophesied against Jehoiakim, and Jehoiakim had him put to death. He also sought to put to death Jeremiah and Baruch, but Jeremiah and Baruch hid themselves, and Jehoiakim could not find them. When we get to Jeremiah, we'll expound the story, but Jeremiah had Baruch as his scribe, as his secretary, and he dictated on this scroll the judgments that God had pronounced against Jerusalem, and he had Baruch take it to the temple and read the scroll. When some of the men heard the reading of the scroll of judgment against Jerusalem, they got together the princes, and they said, "We want you to hear the words of this scroll." So he read it to them. And they said, "We need to get this to the king." And so they started to read the scroll to the king. And the king took his knife and cut the thing and threw it into the fire. And then Jeremiah and Baruch wrote a second scroll with the same thing and said, "Though you may try to get rid of the pronounced judgment, you can't. You know, though you may burn the scroll in the fire, still the judgments are going to come. You can't escape the judgment." And so Jehoiakim was guilty of shedding the innocent blood. During his reign, again, they began to offer their children in the fires to Molech. And of course, the killing of the prophets of God who spoke against these acts. Now, the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim, all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And they are also written in the prophecies of Jeremiah. So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead. Jehoiachin was also known as Jeconiah, or in some places as Coniah. Jeconiah, Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim. The king of Egypt did not come again anymore out of his land, for the king of Babylon had taken all of the territory from the river of Egypt, not the Nile, that would be a wadi down towards Egypt, unto the river Euphrates, and all that pertained to the king of Egypt. So where they could have been expecting Pharaoh Necho to come and help them, he did not come again. Jehoiachin, 18 years old when he began to reign. And he only reigned for 3 months. His mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. And at the time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. So a very short reign under Jehoiachin, or Jeconiah. Interesting prophecy in Isaiah concerning this fellow Jeconiah in the 22nd chapter of Jeremiah. He prophesies against Jeconiah, and he predicts that there would not be any of his seed to sit upon the throne of Israel. Verse 30, "Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days. For no man of his seed shall prosper sitting on the throne of David or ruling any more in Judah." So Jeconiah did not have his son reigning in his stead, but instead his uncle reigned in his stead by Nebuchadnezzar. Now, the interesting thing about this fellow, Jeconiah, and about this prophecy is that when in the New Testament you have two of the Gospels giving the genealogy for Jesus, the Gospel of Matthew, as it records the genealogy of Joseph, Joseph was a descendant of Jeconiah. And in Matthew, it is, of course, called Coniah, but it is Jeconiah or Jehoiachin. And being a descendant of Jehoiachin, had Christ been the son of Joseph, he could not be the heir to the throne of David because of the curse under Jeremiah that not any of his seed shall sit upon the throne of David forever. His line was cut off. And thus, had Jesus been the son of Joseph, he could not, according to this prophecy of Jeremiah, sit on the throne of David. That is why Luke's gospel records for us the genealogy of Mary, who also was a descendant of David, royal seed. And Mary's line goes back through another route so that she was not a descendant of Jeconiah. And thus, being of the royal seed, her son could be heir to sit upon the throne of David. And we know indeed that that shall be the case. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David to order it and to establish it in righteousness and in judgment. So a little interesting insight from Jeremiah, the prophecy against his fellow Jeconiah or Jehoiachin. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, during his reign, came to Jerusalem and he besieged the city. And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his princes, his officers. And the king of Babylon took him in the eighth year of his reign. That is the eighth year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. It was only the third month of the reign of Jehoiachin. When Nebuchadnezzar came, he had been besieged by these other little nations. They weren't able to do anything. But when Nebuchadnezzar himself came, probably with extra troops from Babylon, he realized that to try to hold off the Babylonian army was useless. And thus he surrendered. He came out to Nebuchadnezzar. But Nebuchadnezzar took him as a captive to Babylon and placed him in the prison there. But in his later years, as we get to the end of chapter 25, we find that he was released from prison and was allowed to sit with the king in the court of Babylon. But at this time, Nebuchadnezzar carried away the servants, the princes, the officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the eighth year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. In this particular captivity, Daniel, the prophet, was also taken to Babylon. So now you're beginning to get into the time of the prophet Daniel, who was just a young man carried away to Babylon while he was probably still in his teen. He was one of the princes in Judah. And when he came to Babylon, he was groomed in the schools in order that he might be a counselor in the court of Nebuchadnezzar. So this is the time that Daniel was taken with his friends, Azariah and the other two, I forget their Hebrew names, but they're more commonly known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Babylonian names that were given to them by Nebuchadnezzar. And so he carried at this time the treasures of the house of the Lord, the treasures out of the king's house. He cut in pieces all of the vessels of gold which Solomon, the king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. And he carried away all of Jerusalem and all the princes, the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives. Actually, according to Josephus, it was 10,852 that he carried away to Babylon at this time. He carried away all of the skilled craftsmen, the silversmiths, goldsmiths, and all. And none remained save the poorest sort of people of the land. He left just the very common poor people. And he carried away Jehoiachin to Babylon, the king's mother, the king's wives, his officers, the mighty of the land, those he carried away to captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the men of might, even 7,000, craftsmen, smiths, 1,000, and all that were strong and apt for war, even then the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. And the king of Babylon then made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead. So none of his seed sat upon the throne, but rather his uncle, and he changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord, it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, until he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. So Zedekiah was made king, but now he is rebelling also against the Babylonian reign. The writer makes note that it was of the Lord. God had given to Judah opportunities of repentance and turning from their sin. Over and over and over again, through the prophets, God pleaded with these people to turn from their sins, to follow after the Lord. God had declared in the beginning, when he made a covenant with this nation, if you will follow me, if you will keep my statutes and my commandments, then I will bless thee and you will be prosperous. But if you forsake me, then you will be taken captive. You'll be driven from this land that I have given to thee, and they'll carry thee away captive and all. And all of this had been promised by God. In spite of the warnings, the people turned their backs on God and would not repent. All kinds of vile, filthy acts were going on. The sins of the time of Manasseh, the killing of the innocent children, the sacrificing them of them to their gods, Molech, burning them in the fire, things of this nature. The sodomites or the homosexuals, the temple prostitutes, the pornography. It was all very common and very prevalent at this time as the nation was destroyed. Idolatry, the thing that God had forbidden. I was talking with Professor Shiloh, who was in charge of the excavations of Mount Ophel, going from the area of the Dung Gate down to the Pool of Siloam. And what they have uncovered is the city of Jerusalem at the time of the Babylonian siege. The houses of the people that were destroyed by this Babylonian siege, when, as we read right here, where the city was broken down and so forth by Babylon in this next chapter. And the interesting thing, Professor Shiloh was showing me pictures of the little idols, and he said we found hundreds upon hundreds of these little idols in every one of these little houses. And they've found the houses. They found the ashes where they burnt the city with fire, and they broke down the houses. And the rubble of the people of the time of Zedekiah's reign, the people that were destroyed by the judgment of God, there is the mute evidence of their idolatry in their houses. Scores of these little household gods, these little nude images and so forth, the Asherim that the people worshiped. And it's, again, just the indictment of God was for these things. Now, it is interesting to me how that people are always wanting God and others to be tolerant of their particular weakness of the flesh. I can be very judgmental against people's problems which I do not share. If you have a particular weakness of the flesh that I don't have, It's horrible. And I can be very judgmental against you. But those weaknesses that I have, I want you to understand. I want you to be tolerant. I want you to say, well, that's all right. You know, we all have our weaknesses. And it's interesting how that we are all trying to protect our own area of weakness rather than repenting, saying, hey, it's wrong. God help me. God deliver me. I somehow want to coddle my own weakness and want to, people to say, well, it's all right to go on in your weakness. And rather than seeking acceptance and toleration, we should be seeking God's deliverance from the power of the flesh reigning over us.
We'll return with more of our study of 2 Kings in our next lesson as we follow the devastation of Jerusalem. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Kings. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord be with you and watch over you during the week, and may God keep you unspotted from this evil world in which we live. It's so easy that our imaginations be directed toward evil and evil things. Keep your mind pure. Keep your heart pure. Walk with God in close fellowship. Give no place to the enemy. Walk in purity and righteousness in fellowship with God through Jesus. And thus may you have a glorious week walking in the Spirit. For they that are in the Spirit shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. May you be in the Spirit. In Jesus' name.
I've got some exciting news to share with you. The Word for Today is releasing Pastor Chuck and Kay's books in ebook format. For those who like to read books electronically, you can now download Pastor Chuck's books to your Kindle reader, iPad, iPod, or even cell phone. What a blessing to be able to have these resources with you at all times, especially when you're in a place to minister to another person. If you have an e-reader, then you know the advantage of being able to search, find, and minister within seconds. And with all of Pastor Chuck and Kay's insights into biblical wisdom, this is a great opportunity to be able to gain from their books so you can share the good news with others. If you would like more information on how to download Pastor Chuck and Kay's ebooks, you can call the Word for Today customer service department at 1-800-272-WORD or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.